May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Familiar passage. This is Luke chapter 2. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel multitudes of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." The word to the prophetic word, not really a prophetic word, but the declaration to these angels when Christ was born, was the announcement that there was going to be good news. And the word good news is just the word gospel. He says the gospel is so good, it should result in great joy for all people. In other words, any person, if you're a people, no matter where you've been, what you've done, where you've come from, what your personality type is, what your brain chemistry might be, is that if you're a person and you've embraced the gospel, if you've really understood the gospel, not your version or a cultural version of the gospel, then you should experience great joy. Then he goes on, he says, peace on earth among men with whom he's pleased. And so this promise was to them, and this was a personal word, it's a word for all of us, but he was speaking to the shepherd, he said, there is born for you a Savior today. And that result should be great joy, not just for you, but anybody who celebrates or embraces the gospel. And you should know peace on earth. What I've discovered over the years is that there is no joy without a foundation of peace. I've never in my life been really joyful, exuberantly joyful, expressively joyful, if there's anxiety and worry and fear and bitterness, resentment, all kinds of stuff on the inside. But being at peace in my heart becomes a springboard to know joy. And if the peace that's in my heart is a result of the gospel, of embracing the gospel, which is a daily embracing, then there should be peace on my earth. My earth I live in. My earth is in 115 Landline Road. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on in my earth. All of you got stuff going on in your earth with all kinds of different deals. You live in a fallen world. Every place you put your foot on this earth is still fallen. And so you're still engaging a fallen universe, fallen politics, fallen people, fallen relationships. But you can know peace there and great joy, because the gospel is there's been born for you a Savior. Now, most of the time when you hear that, you think of, good, I've got to have a Savior. And because I've embraced Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I don't have to worry about going to hell one day. And I'm going to go to heaven one day. My sins are forgiven. Therefore, I have a Savior. But that's great in the sense that I know that one day I'm going to have peace and joy in heaven because my sins are forgiven. But what about the hell we live in on earth because of the activity of the enemy? He says, you'll know peace on earth and great joy. Good news that brings great joy for all the people. And that back that word Savior, that there is for each one of us a Savior. Not just a Savior from hell one day, not just a Savior from being punished for my sins one day, because he was punished for my sins, but a Savior from the power of sin itself. Because that is the source of all lack of peace, all lack of joy, and all human misery. If you're miserable today, it's not his fault. Whoever that his is in your life, or her fault, or its fault, or that's fault. You're miserable because you're anxious, you're fearful, you know, those are sins, by the way, or you're worried, that is sin, or you're resentful, or you're offended, or you feel left out, rejected, those are sins, by the way, or you've become judgmental in your heart towards somebody, or you've separated yourself and justified it from some person, you're withholding love from someone, That is sin, by the way. This is the story I read yesterday from Matthew. This is the angel speaking to Joseph about Mary's pregnancy being legitimately with the Holy Spirit. And he will bear a son, and you shall name his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. That's really, if you want to talk about what did Jesus come to do, he came to save us from our sins. He certainly came to save us eternally in terms of from sin's penalty. We're not going to go to hell one day. We're going to be not separated from God forever. But he came to save us from sins, period. Because sin is the cause of eternal separation, but it's also the cause of present tense misery and pain. That's why when he says, here's the good news. And it's good news. It's got brings such great joy and peace on the earth. And here it is, very simple. There's born for you personally a Savior in the city of David. And this is the great scripture, I think, in the New Testament. That's the commentary of that verse, what that really means. This is Romans 5:10. For if while we were enemies, in other words, we were not saved, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, now I'm saved, I shall be saved by his life, or in his life. Jesus died on the cross for me to save me from sin's penalty so that I won't have to go to hell. Jesus lives his life in me so that I won't have to live in hell and make life hell for everybody else around me. Jesus died for me to save me from sin. Jesus lives in me to save me from sins, whichever one they are, your sin, your little pet sin, your personality type. None of those are excuses. Again, this is, I think, one of the real keys I've discovered. I think Levy and I both, over the years, as we did a lot of counseling, Levy did, I used to a long time ago, meeting with couples or other people, and it was his fault, her fault, and it was always real confusing because I was the only way I could ever really have gotten it right was one perfect words of knowledge of prophecy, or if I just had videoed the family like reality TV for about a week. Then I go, no, here it is. No, yeah, you did say that. No, you did act like that. That look was there. And the most difficult thing for people I've discovered is that first step of owning your stuff. You're not miserable because of that. You're miserable because of your unholy and sinful response to life and relationship. That's why you're miserable. And no, you can't say it's okay to act that way because they did. Because they are sinning doesn't mean it's okay for you to act sinfully. You have a plumb line that measures what's right and wrong, and it's Jesus. Remember what we said right yesterday, what righteousness really means? Right. From God's perspective. What God says is right and sees us right about a thing. That's righteousness. Not what you see. That's why I love the psalm. It says, judge me, O God. I don't mean, that's not about rejection. Discern my life, O God, according to your righteousness. Not my own created righteousness. Because it's all full of justification and self-defense. I mean, I don't know about you, but I use all kinds of excuses. You were irritable, so I have a right to be irritable back. You hurt my feelings, so I have a right to pout. I'm really, really tired, so I have an excuse to be grouchy. I feel rejected, so I'm going to reject you back. No, it's just sin. And here's the good news. It's good news that'll bring great joy to all the people on the earth that you live in. And that means that there's victory for you over sins, no matter what's happening around you or how the people around you are behaving. I mean, if I could get a postcard and tape it to your forehead so that every time you looked into the mirror, you could go, it's nobody's fault but mine. Then from your ear, some big postcards would go, and there's only one help, and it's Jesus. Nobody's fault but mine, and nobody can save me from me but Jesus. That's why he came to live inside of you. Save you by his life. He died for you to save you from your sin penalty. He lives in you to save you from yourself sins daily. And he's the only one who can. But he will. Much more, he says, will he save us daily by his life. That's the incarnation. That's what the baby, this human being, clothing deity, says to us. I can clothe frail humanity and manifest glory. Alrighty? So in case, as I've gotten older, I'm now as grouchy as Livy's been since I've known her, because she's always tough. She's a tough person to go to for counseling because she doesn't feel sorry for anybody. She has compassion, but she won't feel sorry for you. But I've gotten bad now because you come to me with this stuff and how much you're being hurt, and I'll have real compassion for how you're getting hurt. But I'll look at you, and then I'll confront your sin. Because what if that person doesn't change? Are you going to be miserable the rest of your life? Sorry. That's not. He came that you might have life, and life have, and have it more abundantly. Not on planet Chuck, where there's nobody there but people who act just like me. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.